I love that video and just how it reminds us what we should do. What a stark, impactful reminder of what we should do. That we should be still, we should be silent, we should be patient, we should be calm in the presence of God. Sometimes our weeks are chaotic and, man, it just seems like the world is falling apart. But God's Word tells us over and over to be still and know that He is God. To be still in His presence, to be calm in His presence, to just sit back and just take in who He is. And so I love that video, and I love how it just is a stark reminder, a great reminder of what we should do. Too often we already know what to do, don't we? We know what to do, we just don't do it. We know what God's Word has already told us, many of us. Now, there may be some of you in here that are new believers and you're new to the Scriptures, but most of us know a lot of what we should be doing. We just don't always want to do it. Last week, one of our elders, Wade Brackens, did the teaching, and he did a great job of talking about the value of Scripture. God's Word, the Word of God. And how God speaks through that. You know, we're in this series called Discerning the Voice of God. And too often, you know, we're saying, man, I just need to hear God. I need a good word from God. And He's given us a good word. He's given us a whole book just to us. He loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He's communicated great things. And so whenever we do look at the Scriptures, and like Wade had pointed out, was how important the Scriptures are. It was a great message. It was great teaching on the value of God's Word. And so hopefully for many of us in this room, you know, we understand that the Word of God is a great gift given to us. And hopefully there's great value that we put into that. And I want us to start with a passage that we have looked at throughout this series. It's kind of where we launched from. Because, again, it's a great reminder from Jesus Himself. These are the words of Christ. In John chapter 10, it says, Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. And the Jews who were there gathered around Him, saying, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in My Father's name testify about Me, but you do not believe because you are not My sheep. My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one will be able to snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus responds to their questions. He's already been responding. And so here's the thing. Jesus is saying, listen, I've already told you that I'm the Messiah. Everything that I do testifies as to who I am. And so it's almost like, hey, I don't know what you're looking for. I'm not sure exactly what you're wanting. Here's the thing. He was God. He knew what they wanted. That's the thing. We want what we want sometimes, not what God wants. And so He knew what they wanted. We go, what were they looking for? What were they wanting? See, God knew. Jesus, who was fully God yet fully man, He knew what they wanted. It just wasn't what they wanted to hear. It just wasn't what they wanted to do. And so too often we as believers, you know, we hear what the Word of God says. We just don't want to do what it says. We have an agenda. We have our own selfish goals and things that we think are more important than maybe God's kingdom or what God desires. And so we wrestle with that. It's kind of a wrestling match sometimes. And so here Jesus makes it clear. He says, My sheep will hear My voice and they'll respond. They'll follow Me. And so as believers, we should be followers of Christ, following Him, following what He said. We've been given these great instructions and these great words of wisdom and these great nuggets of truth throughout the Bible, throughout the Scriptures. One of the statements that Wade made last week, which I thought was a great statement, says, our tendency is to want God's spectacular voice, but the current reality is that the scriptural collection, that is the Bible, the Word of God, God-breathed, true and authoritative, is His most frequent, readily available, chosen method for speaking to us. As believers, that is the most readily available, most frequent way of speaking to you and to me. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times I may be driving down the road and I'll see a bumper sticker on somebody's car and it will speak to me. It's just like God said, you know, hey, Mike, this was for you, and it's on somebody's bumper sticker. Or maybe it's Maybe it's on a billboard somewhere. You know, that somebody just paid to have a scripture put on a billboard and it will speak to me. Maybe there's times I'm driving down the road and maybe listening to K-Love or some Christian radio station, and there'll be a song that will literally be singing scripture, and God will speak to me through that song and through those verses and affirm me or encourage me or challenge me or at even times rebuke me. And so God is speaking through the Word of God that He has already given us. And sometimes as singing, we're just repeating back to Him what He's already told us. And we're saying, God, we celebrate this verse. We celebrate this promise. And we stand on it. And we stand here and we praise You for what You have said and for what You have done and what You have provided. And so it's one of the ways that God speaks to us is through the very Word of God. This letter that He's given us. The Scripture that He's put in our hands. And it didn't get here easy. I hope you understand that the Word of God went through many battles to get here through the ages, through the years. It's been a challenge to get it in the hands of people. And even today in some nations, it's hard to get the Word of God into the hands of people. I heard, one of the things Wade said last week, he said, I've probably got more Bibles at my home than some nations do. And he's probably right. That's hard for us to get our mind around. There are some places where it's against the law. It'll cost people their life to read this scripture. And some of it, people only have little pieces and pages. You've got dusty books at your house, dusty Bibles at your house. But there are some places in the world where people will give their life to get just a scrap piece of page. To be able to claim that one passage. And so the Word of God is precious. And it gives us teachings. It tells us to do things. One of the things I just heard in the announcement video was talking about the serve day. Serve day is next week. The Bible clearly tells us that we're to serve our neighbor. We're to serve one another. And so Jesus would literally wash the disciples' feet, and He would tell us to, Peter was like, Lord, You're not washing my feet. He said, listen, if you don't have a part in this, you don't have a part in Me. In other words, if you're not willing to wash the feet of the people around you, if you're not willing to serve them, is pretty much what He was saying, then you have no part in Me. And so who have you served this week? Most of us as believers, we know that we should serve, but who have we served? Or have we looked for someone to serve us? Who have we blessed this week? Who have we washed their feet? Not wanting anything in return, but we just say, hey, I want to wash your feet. Bless you. I want to do something for you in Jesus' name. Because you're doing it as Jesus would. And so, like I said, we have this tendency to, we want the supernatural, the spectacular. Like Wade talked about last week, we want to talk about, the burning bush moment. Or maybe, how God spoke through a donkey. And maybe many of you in here don't know those stories. If you don't know those stories, I would encourage you to go back and look those stories up and look up the passage where it says that God spoke through a donkey. Go back and look at that. Go back and look up where it talks about, where God spoke through a burning bush that was on fire, but yet it was never consumed. And what God said to him. And so I would encourage you to go back and read those stories. And some of you may say, I grew up learning that in VBS. But see, here's the cool thing about our church. We have a lot of people here that are new believers that have recently put their faith in Christ, that have come to know Christ as Savior only in the last few weeks, months, or even years. And so maybe they haven't studied the Scriptures. They haven't read those stories and weren't raised in church. And so maybe there's something, about going back and taking in those stories and beginning to understand how God did speak in a spectacular. But the crazy thing is that God has a tendency to speak through His Word. And I hope you understand this, but this the Word, the Bible, the Word of God is a love letter to us. And I know you've probably heard that 1,000 times, but it is a love letter. How many of you guys, now some of you in here, maybe it's been a long, long time since you got a love letter. I don't know, like a long time for some of you. But maybe some of you in here, you've never gotten one either. Maybe you're on the, kind of on the spectrum. But there may be some of you that you got one recently. Somebody gave you a love letter. Well, what we have a tendency to do with the love letter. Now, here's the thing. If it's from somebody you're interested in. Now, if it's from somebody that you're trying to get away from or whatever, it's kind of like, I don't know. But the thing is, if it's somebody that you have kind of mutual feelings for, you'll tend to look through that, especially if you're enamored with this person. You'll tend to look through that, and you will literally focus and think about all those things in that letter over and over. You may read the letter through one time, you'll go back and you'll read it again, you'll read it again, you'll read it again. You may even keep it in a special place or secret place or whatever, and then you'll take it out and you'll read it. Maybe you even underline or highlight certain things that were said in there that really seem to speak to your heart. And so here's the thing I would say is that's kind of how God's Word is. It's a love letter written to you. I hope you guys understand that as believers, we have put our faith in Christ. as a believer, as a true follower of Christ, we have said, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Not like these Jews here who kept wondering. We go, he's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He is the chosen one. And so we believe with all of our heart that he can save us. We believe that he can redeem us. We believe that with all of our heart. And so we put our faith in him for salvation. And we believe that, number one, that not only can he save us, but he can change us. And we don't have to be the same old person that we've always been. But we can be changed and transformed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, by the blood of Christ. So we believe that, and it moves us. And so we when we read it, we realize how much God loved us. And so when we read the Scriptures, we get excited about it. And maybe we even underline or highlight certain things in our Bible where God is saying, hey, listen, this is how much I love you. I'm willing to send my one and only Son to a cross, to an old rugged cross, to die for you, to bleed out so that his blood will literally wash away your sins and that you can be in right standing with me. So whenever we look into the Word of God, we're challenged by what it says. And just like Wade was saying last week, it ought to be something that we value, something that we're not intimidated by. But it was written to the church, and so therefore we hunger for it, we thirst for it, we want the Word of God. We're not afraid of it. We don't live in fear of it. I hear so many people that they're afraid of what Revelation has to say. If you've read the book, I don't know if you've figured this out, we win in the end. I hope you understand that. Satan is defeated. You know, and if you're born again, man, you're in good standing. And so we shouldn't live in fear, but live in faith. And we should walk in that confidence. There's a statement here. It says, Scripture encourages believers to meditate on God and His Word. So Scripture encourages believers, that's us. That's those of us that have put our faith in Christ. We have trusted Him to save our soul. We have trusted Him to change us and to transform us into the image and to become more and more like Christ. So for every believer here in the room, the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God, the love letter from God, encourages us, it admonishes us, it moves us to meditate on God and His Word. Now here's the thing. In our culture, in this day and age, a lot of you guys, whenever you hear the word meditate, you're thinking something negative. You're thinking, hey, that's occult stuff. That's Zen junk. But I want you to understand, meditation is scriptural. And it's from God's Word. It goes back and predates a lot of the stuff that you hear in this day and age. You know, some of you may be thinking, that sounds like New Age. No. This is Old Testament. This isn't New Age. This is Old Testament. And so we're taught in the Scriptures that we're to meditate, to think on, to dwell on, to think over, to ponder thoughts that maybe come from God's Word, or ponder, think on, and maybe just kind of think and just focus, meditate on who God is, what His Word says. Kind of like you do with that love letter, that you look through it, you try to draw from it, you see what's there. And so that's the cool thing about God's Word, is that we're to meditate on it, we're to think on it over and over and over. And so Scripture encourages believers to meditate on God, who He is, and His Word. And so the Bible tells us in John that Jesus was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And so whenever we focus on the very Word of God, we also realize that is focusing on Christ, who was the Word, became flesh. And so Jesus, who was fully God yet fully man, dwelt among men. Like I said, we started the very message today reading that text where Jesus is speaking to the people. And they keep asking this question. He's like, I've already told you. And I've already demonstrated it by the powers that you've seen. That the Father and I are one. And that my sheep, in other words, those who have been born again, those who have been redeemed, they hear my voice. So this next passage here, this is from the Old Testament. And this passage is God speaking to Joshua. And he's letting Joshua know that he will be with him as he leads the people into the promised land. If you're familiar with that story, you know, we heard earlier, or last week, where Wade was talking about Moses talking to a burning bush. And if you've read that story, or if you've seen the Ten Commandments, or you know anything about the story, Moses, God speaks to him through a burning bush, and he tells him, he said, you're going to go into Egypt, and I'm going to set my people free. You're going to be my voice there. I'm going to speak through you to the Pharaoh. And so he goes, and he is the voice. He is the spokesperson, if you would be, for God. And so Pharaoh finally, eventually lets the people of Egypt go. And so they go into the wilderness and they're traveling around and they gripe and they complain, much like we would. I know it's real easy for us to want to beat them up, but we gripe and complain even here and now with all the accommodations and all that we have here in our culture. We gripe and complain. we would be the same way. They're walking around in a desert. They get to a point where they're running out of food. You know, and God provides meat. He provides quail. He provides manna, which is literally heavenly bread. So God would provide all these things, but they would still gripe and complain. They wouldn't be satisfied. It sounds like us today in some ways. But what would happen was that Moses would get frustrated at some point in there. He would, in anger, strike a stone or a rock that would pour forth water. But he would be told, you know, Moses, you will not be going into the promised land. I'll let you look out over it, but you won't be going in. But Joshua, his right-hand man, would be the one leading the people, the nation of Israel, into the promised land. And so here God is speaking to Joshua. And he's telling Joshua what he's going to do. And he's saying, hey, listen, Joshua, this is what you need to do. So here is God. Here is the voice of God speaking to Joshua. And he's affirming him. And he's telling him, listen, you're going to be successful. And here are the reasons why. He kept saying over and over, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. Some of us in here, man, we need to hear what God was saying to Joshua, that we need to be courageous. We need to be courageous. In the culture that we live in, man, we all want to be successful, don't we? Well, look at what it says here in Joshua 1:8. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. See, that's most of what our culture seems to focus on this day and time. It's not on serving the way that Jesus taught, but it really is about being prosperous. We all want stuff, and we all want money, and we all want things. And so all of us really focus on those things. And so if that's your focus, then Jesus is telling Joshua, if you will keep my word on your lips, if you'll think about my word, if you will meditate on it and think about it and ponder and really weigh out, hey, how can I walk in step with God's word? He said, you'll be prosperous and successful wherever you put your foot. So for some of you who want to be prosperous, look into God's word, meditate on his teaching. If you want to be successful, you see, success is kind of measured in different ways, because some people, their idea of success is having stuff. For some people, it's having good relationships. For others, it may be just having peace. But the thing is to be successful, we have to focus on the Word of God. So he says it again. Let me say it again. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. In other words, wherever you're going, it's not just on Sunday morning. It's not just in your devotion time. It's whatever you are doing. You think about what the Word of God teaches and what it says. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. All right, so let's drop down to Psalms 1, 1 through 2. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it his law day and night. See, again, this is Old Testament teaching us that it's important for us to understand the Word of God, to know what the Old Testament says, to know what the New Testament says, to know how it applies to our life, and to know what God's intentions are for us. Many of you in this room, there may be something that you're facing right now, and you're going, man, I need a good word from God. Get in His Word. There may be something that you're going through. There's something that you're struggling with. Maybe it's a decision. Hey, should I stay in this marriage? Should I stay in this job? Should I stay in this whatever? And you got to be willing to say, you know what, God, I want you to speak to me through your word. And so by meditating and thinking on it and really spending time in God's word, sometimes he speaks very clearly. Wade mentioned this next passage last week. He was talking about how it's the oldest, and it's the longest passage in the scriptures, is Psalms 119. And how over and over and over it talks about the precepts of God and the Word of God and how important it is. And so I want to read this to you. This is out of Psalms 119, 9 through 16. It says, how can a young person stay on a path of purity? So, all right, we would say, all right, that's speaking to the young people. It depends on how young you think you are. If you consider yourself young, see, I always joke, you know, the older I get, the younger ages seem. You know, I just turned 50 this year. 50 seems a lot younger for whatever reason. Maybe it's the new 40. I don't know. But I'm just saying, but the thing is how young do you feel? If you want to keep your way pure, look at what it says. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. That's how you do it. So some of you young people that are, maybe you're in middle school, high school, maybe you're in college. How do you keep your path pure? How do you keep your life pure? By living according to God's word. Says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So the question we may want to ask is, God, do I really seek you at all? Do I just ask you to bless what I'm doing, or do I seek you? But look at what it says. Do not let me stray from your commands. That ought to be our prayer. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We've hidden it by memorizing it, by thinking on it, by absorbing the very word of God. It becomes part of who we are. We don't have to wonder what Scripture says. We know it because we spent time in it. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one who rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. That's what the psalmist is saying right there. He said, Lord, I focus on what you have said. I focus on your teaching. I focus on your promises. I stand on your promises. And I know what I should be doing because your word has told me. I've hid it in my heart so that I won't sin against you. And so there may be some of you in here that you think, man, I'm facing some challenges, some struggles. Hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him. For many of us in this room, we know what God's word says already about certain things. We just choose to sin anyway. We choose to do the things that we want to do. We choose to do the things we think are right, even though we know that what God's word says. And so here the psalmist is saying, in Scripture, it speaks to us. And he's talking about how it's almost like the lifeblood for the believer. And so here's the thing, is if you're not a believer, if you've never put your faith in Christ, and maybe there's some other God, some little g God that is your God, then that's one thing. But for the most of us in this room that say that we are believers, that we're followers of Christ, then God's word ought to have great value to us. And we should be willing to think on it and meditate on it. Even more so than a love letter from some person, we should focus on the love letter that God has written to us. So some of the ways that we can do that is the way that we look at the Scriptures. You know, for many of us, maybe, you know, we look at this and we go, you know, I wasn't raised in the Word of God. I wasn't raised with some of this. It doesn't matter. We can learn from this. You know, and I've told this before. You know, I grew up in a home where my mom and my dad, you know, I can remember driving down the road and they would say, hey, listen, look behind us and see if there's anything behind us. And if there was no cars behind us, they'd throw the trash out the window. And let me tell you, what's funny is I hate a litter bug now as much as anything. I don't hate them. I hate littering. And because to me, it's poor stewardship. I mean, it's horrible, horrible stewardship of what God has entrusted us with. This is the world that we've been given. And so I grew up in a home where, hey, look, see if there's anybody behind us. If nobody's behind us, you throw the trash out the window. I mean, it's littered all down the side of the street. And some of y'all may do that now, but I'm just telling you, I grew up with that, but it doesn't mean I had to live like that or I had to continue that pattern. And so whenever I look into the Word of God, I see where it talks about stewardship and taking care of things and trying to be wise about what I have. Just because I was raised a certain way doesn't mean that I stay that way. And there's some of you that, you know, maybe you were raised a certain way and you say, yeah, but I was raised that way. It doesn't matter if you're a believer. If the Word of God tells you to live differently, you live differently because of what the Word of God says, not because of how you were raised. Maybe you were raised in a home where it was okay to be verbally and emotionally and physically abusive in that home. It's not okay to stay that way. God's Word says to not do that. The Word of God says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need in Christ Jesus. So if you grew up in a home where it was verbally abusive and it was always ripping and tearing and shredding of one another, just because you were raised that way doesn't mean it's okay. And what we ought to do is stop thinking about how I was raised and think about what God wants me to be. And what He's called me to be and what He's telling me to do. And so it doesn't matter how you were raised. If you're a child of God, you have been born again. You have been set free. Today we're talking about freedom all over this nation. Now we have freedom here in America, but here's the thing. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, we have put our faith in Christ who gives us true freedom. That can't be taken away by some army or whatever. But we have been given freedom that lasts. Freedom in Christ. We're no longer a slave to sin or in bondage to sin, but we have been set free. If we have truly been washed in the blood of Christ, we are free indeed. And so you have to ask, you know, why do I continue to live the same life that I'm living? Is it because my focus, my meditation seems to be on what this world has to say rather than what God's word has to say? And there's plenty of us in this room that the culture is more appealing and probably more interesting than the truth of God's word. A lie can be very engaging and very entertaining. And sometimes we buy into the lies. But what if we were to buy into the truth of God's word? What if we were to hunger for the truth of God's word to the point of where we wanted to walk and live according to those precepts day in, day out? Because this world will offer you and promise you lots of things, but the Word of God will deliver. And so there may be something that, you know what, you go, you know, I feel like God is really speaking to me about this, but man, this really is appealing. And I'll tell you this, sin is fun for a day and for a season. And then there will be hell to pay for that sin. See, God makes it clear that there's consequences to our sin. There's consequences to those decisions when we choose the world or something over God and His plan. There's consequences. There's fallout. There's families that will be affected. There's friends that will be affected. There's jobs. There's all kinds of consequences to the sin that we choose over the God that loves us. And so when we look back at this passage, we can't just say, well, I was raised that way. The Word of God changes the believer if we're seeking to heed it and to follow it. I put a couple of questions down here that we ought to ask when we look into the Scriptures, not just like Psalms 119 or Joshua 1:8, but whatever passage God has you in. Maybe you're in a Bible study and there's a passage that, you know, that you're reading for that day. Well, here's just a couple of questions that maybe we ought to ask as we look into the Scriptures or as we spend time in the Word of God. We look here and we ask these questions. One is this: what does this verse reveal to me about Him? I'm talking about God. When I read this passage, what does it reveal to me about Him? What about God's character? That He's faithful. What about God's character? That He's truthful. He is truth. Maybe there's something else that begins to, as you read a passage, you begin to see the character of God. You see that He is a just God. What we often look for is we want a fair God. But God doesn't never, He never says that He's fair. He just says that He is just. He does what is right. He does what is just. And so we see that He is a God of justice. We see that He is a God of faithfulness. We see that He is a God of consistency. We see that He is a God of love. The Bible says that God is love. And so whenever you read a passage, you begin to ask those questions. And what you're doing is you're meditating on what the Scripture says. You're meditating on the God. You're thinking over and over about the qualities and the characteristics of the God that we serve, the one true God. And most of us in this room, we really do know how to meditate. We just call it worrying. And I've talked about that before. What we do is we think on the negatives in life. We think on the things that aren't going our way. We worry about what could happen. And so we spend all of our time worrying. So what we're doing is we're meditating on the negative. We're meditating on what could happen. We're meditating on, hey, what if they leave? We meditate on those things. We think on those things and we worry. And it begins to build an anxiety and a lack of trust in relationships. And we wonder, why do I feel this way? It's because we're focusing on the negative rather than focusing on the things of God. So I guarantee you, every one of you in this room, you know how to meditate. You just don't meditate on the Word of God always. You meditate on something else. Maybe what the world says. Maybe what could happen. Maybe the negativity. Maybe the past. You dwell there rather than focusing on the promises of God. So what does this verse reveal to me about Him, His character, His qualities? The second thing is, what spiritual principles does it teach? As I read a passage, what does that passage tell me, or what does it reveal to me? And one of the things that it may reveal is it may say, hey, listen, just want you to know that everybody goes through tough times. We're not immune as believers to tough times. Paul was in prison probably more than he was free, it seemed like. His ministry was a prison ministry from the other side of the cell bars. I mean, he was in there doing ministry to all of us. A lot of the letters that we read, the New Testament letters from Apostle Paul, were written in jail. And so he went through tough times. He took beatings. He took lashings. He was shipwrecked. So just because you're a believer, just because you're a follower of Christ, does not mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have storms. It doesn't mean that that's going to happen. But if anything, the Word of God says they are coming. There will be storms. There will be adversity. There will be persecution. All those things are told. But the thing that He tells us also is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave you no matter what you're going through, no matter what storm you're facing today. He's not going to leave you. You may leave Him. You may seek to leave Him. You may try to leave Him. But we just got through reading up here in John that whom He holds in His hand, no one can snatch away. You may feel like Satan's trying to pull you away. He may be. But he will not win. If you are His, if you are a sheep of His flock, you're His. You're part of His family. He's purchased you with a price. His Son Jesus bled out His blood on a cross for you so that you could be in right standing with Him. And so God, who Jesus said is greater than all, holds you in His hand. And so maybe what you draw from a passage or a teaching is that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He even tells us that He will protect us. There are times that we, you know, feel like we have to fight all these fights, and sometimes we just have to get on our knees and surrender to God and let God fight the fights for us. We've got to be willing to surrender to Him, and He will defeat our enemies. One of the main things we need to remember is the trials are temporary. God allows us to go through trials to shape us, to mold us, to teach us, to at times rebuke us. So no matter what you're going through, it's only temporary. There are things that will last forever, but the things of this world are temporary. And there'll be seasons that you will go through. And so God's Word, that maybe that's what He's teaching. Hey, listen, you're going through a tough season, but this too shall pass. And you've got to be willing to focus on what God is doing. Here's another question. Am I living in a way contrary to its truth? In other words, when you read a passage and God is very clear about what the truth is, am I living contrary to that? You know, and whatever that may be, maybe it's like a while ago we were talking about God tells you to serve, but you know you're not serving anybody. You're always looking for somebody to serve you. Are you living contrary to what He's already taught you? Maybe He tells you to tithe. You know that God's Word teaches us to tithe and to give, but you go, you know what, God, you just don't understand my situation right now. No, He knows it. He just knows you're living contrary to what He's already told you. Maybe He tells you to forgive, and you know you should forgive, because He has forgiven you and you want to be in right standing with God. And you know that He's already told you that, you know what, hey, I have forgiven you. I have washed you clean. But yet you're holding a grudge against someone else because you won't forgive them. So you're living contrary to what He's already told you. The Bible says to live in a way, to live at peace with people if at all possible. To forgive and to quickly forgive just as Christ has forgiven us. But some of you know right now that you have a grudge against someone or bitterness, anger, resentment in your heart towards them. And you can't seem to forgive them. Because you're listening to something other than Scripture. Am I living contrary to its truth? And here's the thing is when we are living contrary to its truth and we read the Word of God as a believer, it should bring conviction. It should bring a little sense of brokenness. Maybe even embarrassment. Sometimes we're embarrassed by what we've done. And you should be. Sometimes we're broken over it. That's where God really wants us to be. See, the Bible says that a broken and contrite heart God desires. He loves. But He despises a haughty, arrogant spirit. See, God wants us in brokenness. Because brokenness, we are dependent on Him. Brokenness, we're finally being truthful about who we are. And we're saying, God, I am broken over my sin. God, I am troubled over my sin. And that's what He desires. But too often what we do is we tend to try to justify it. We defend ourselves, and we blame others for our own sin. But if I'm living contrary to the Word of God, what we ought to pray for is, God, bring conviction in my life and brokenness over my sin. How does it relate to my current circumstances? See, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And so when you read a scripture, read a passage, one of the things we always ask is, hey, how is this relevant to what I'm going through? And I will say this, the Word of God is relevant from beginning to end. It is relevant. It's just there's some passages that seem to be more relevant than others. But it's all relevant. It's all something that God will use to teach us and to shape us and at times divide us from the lies. And so we have to ask, you know, how does this affect my current circumstances? How does it speak to that? And then here's another one. How should I respond to what I am contemplating? How should I respond to what I'm contemplating? There's things that God will speak to you about today, but some of you will walk out of here, you'll try to put it off. There's been plenty of times whenever God has probably tugged at your heart to come to the altar and lay something down, and you just think, well, I'll do that later, and you never do. And so oftentimes what we do is we have to respond to what God is speaking to us or leading us to do, either through Scripture or through the Holy Spirit. And what we'll do is we will kind of put Him off. We'll kind of push Him back and we'll say, I'll do that later. And so what is the response? Do we respond the way that we feel He is leading, or do we put it off and just hope that it goes away? So how should I respond to what I'm contemplating? You remember the old WWJD bracelets that people used to have and T-shirts they used to have? The whole question is, hey, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would He, what, respond? And so that doesn't go away. That's something we ought to ask ourselves. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would he respond? What has he already told me? One of the questions we have to ask is, how has God responded in the past? There may be a circumstance that you're going through right now that you feel like, oh, you know, this is all new. No, it's not. If you go back and look in Scripture, it's already happened. And God has already spoken his either, you know, his condemnation of what you're thinking about doing, or either he has blessed what you're going to do. And so you may be able to look back into the Scriptures and see that, you know what, God condemns this, but he blesses this. I choose blessing. Most of us in this room with any common sense would say, I choose blessing. Not condemnation, blessing. I choose blessing. God, I want to be in the center of your blessing. So maybe you ought to just look at the Scripture and ask, you know, what has God already said about this? I want blessing, not condemnation. There's a statement here that says, it is from these times of meditation that we receive clarity as his word becomes alive and personal by the Spirit's illumination. See, one of the things, and Wade spoke on this and talked about this last week, is the Spirit of the living God in us is what helps bring the Word of God to life in us. The Spirit of the living God indwells the believer. The one who hears his voice, the Spirit of the living God dwells within us. He has been placed there. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ, but we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so for every one of us in this room that is a believer, that is truly seeking the face of God and really wants to be used by God, then we have to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us, and at times illuminate areas of our life that do not line up with his teaching. And so what we've got to be willing to do is ask God every time that we get into the Word, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, show me what you're wanting to say to me today. Teach me from your word. God, bring conviction. God, bring brokenness in me that I might be broken before you, pliable, able to be shaped and molded to become more like Christ. There's a statement here. It says, Scripture encourages believers to worship the one true God. To worship the one true God. There's a couple of elements that whenever we're entering into maybe a time to hear God's voice, that we have to be open to some things. And we've talked about quite a few of these through the weeks. It's one, you got to want to hear from God. See, there's some of you in here today, you may even be here just because your family, your spouse, your mom, your dad just wants you here. You don't really want to hear from God. And there's some of you that may be here today that you're a believer and you know you're living in sin and you really don't want to hear from God. You're just kind of doing the old social check mark, the spiritual check mark to look like things are okay. But there's some of you that are living in sin, and what you've got to be willing to do is say, God, I want to hear from you. I do want to hear from you. God, I want your truth to permeate my life. God, I want to live in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. So that ought to be every prayer, the prayer of every believer in here. So we've got to want to hear from God. And then here's the other thing is we need the Word of God because it's one of the most realistic ways that he speaks in this day and time is the Word of God, the Bible. So we need Scripture in our life. And maybe there may be some of you here that, man, you're just not into Scripture. You need to be. If you really love him, then you love the Word of God because Jesus is the Word became flesh. And so whenever we begin to have a love for the Word of God, we tend to want to meditate on it. We tend to want to think on it. We tend to want to ponder the thoughts of God. We tend to want to ponder the words of God. We want to think about what happened. We look back at the miracles. We look back at the things that took place, the battles and on, and why Moses didn't get to go in and why Joshua. And we begin to learn from those things. So we think on those things and we try to absorb all that God has for us to hear from him. But worship is a vital part of our time alone with God. And we're going to cover that more in detail next week. But here's the thing about worship. Worship ushers in the very presence of God. Worship ushers in the very presence of God. The songs that we were singing earlier, you know, we always say, well, that's where worship can be multiple things. Worship can be reading the Word of God. Worship can be a song. Worship is an attitude. Worship is how you live. It's how we live our life day in, day out, not just Sunday morning for about 20 minutes. It's how I live my life is worship to the one true God. And so how you live this week, how you line up with the Word of God is your worship to God. But worship in our time alone, in our personal time of worship, can be a very powerful time. Like I said, sometimes God speaks to us through a song. where He speaks to us through a very intimate, maybe music just begins to speak to you, stirring your spirit. And so Scripture encourages believers to worship the one true God. Some of us worship other things, but we should be worshiping the one true God. I'm going to ask Matt to come down, and Matt's going to lead us through a song here. And it's a song that many of you will recognize. Some of you may not recognize the song, but I want you to meditate. I want you to focus, if you will, on what the song says. I want you to meditate. I want you to ponder. I want you to think. I want you to dwell on what is being said in this song. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of meditation. You can sing along if you want to. But more than anything, I want you to listen to the lyrics. I want you to read the lyrics. I want you to ponder the lyrics. And I want you to think about what truth is being spoken over you through a song. And so I want to ask everybody to stand. And Matt's going to lead us.
Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be.
believer, we are redeemed. Just to think on that. We're not who we used to be. We don't have to stay the same. We can be changed and transformed by the blood of Christ to become so much more than what the world says we are. See, when we meditate on the truth of God's Word, we focus on what He has said, what He has done. It changes us. I want to ask you just to bow your heads for a second. Maybe you're here and you realize you've never been redeemed, never been saved, never been changed by the blood of Christ, by the love of God. But you want to be today. If you're here and you feel like, you know what, it's time for me to surrender. It's time for me to accept Christ, to quit trying to fight a fight that He's already won. If that's you, and you want to give your life to Christ, and you know that you need Jesus, if you want to give your heart to Him for the very first time today, I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking, just me. Just raise your hand. Anybody? I need Christ today. What that tells me is that we in this room are redeemed. This body of believers has been redeemed, has been saved, has been set free. Are we living that way? Are we living as one who's been set free from the bondage of sin? Are we living as hope in the lives of the people around us that they can see Christ in us? Are we living up to God's expectations for us? Are we living as the walking example of a life that is changed by Christ? Are we living as the redeemed? Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts today. God, help us as the church. Help us as an individual. God, put a hunger in us for Your Word. To live as the redeemed. To offer hope to those You have put in our life. To be willing to forgive as You have forgiven us. God, to be willing to serve as You serve. God, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for the fact that You care about the details of our life and that You will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name.